Heavenly Father, I'm so excited about what you shared with us 2,000 years ago and what it means to us today. I am so excited to get to share your message here today with the community I love so dearly, with the people I love so dearly, Lord. And I just pray that we can just feel your presence, because I know you're here, and I know you're moving, and that you would just move in this place tonight in a way that we haven't come to. In your name, amen. So the past couple of weeks we've been talking about Galatians, and Steve's been talking about the struggles that the Galatian church has been having, or had been having with just how to live life, how to live the kingdom life that Paul had shared the gospel with them, that Jesus had called them to. And it got me thinking, like, how can we lose, where can we go, how can we lose that mindset of the kingdom life? So a few years ago, I visited Haiti. I was there for 3 weeks doing some video work for a mission agency, and I happened to come upon a place called Jubilee. We have a picture of it up here. Maybe one. There it is. So Jubilee is actually a slum in a town called Gonaive, and it's on a salt plain right by the sea. And there's nothing there except shacks that look like that. People live there. It's a pretty desolate place, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And I was working with these missionaries there, and they just had a hope beyond hope. I didn't really understand it. And so I've been there for a couple days and just seeing some really, stuff that kind of shook me up. People with hopelessness in their eyes. And so then the next day we were traveling through the countryside of Haiti. And most of the countryside of Haiti has been completely clear cut. It's been turned into a desert. And if you guys have ever been to the Caribbean, you know that it's just a lush tropical paradise. Well, this Haiti is not that. And so we were driving through one little jungle and Haiti is left, and I'll show a picture of it. And that's beautiful, right? That's really beautiful. And so the missionaries I was with were like, one day Jubilee is going to look like this. Jubilee is going to have this lush jungle, and it's going to be this Eden, and the people there are going to just be rejoicing. And that was hard for me to wrap my brain around, that how convinced they were that this would take place. And I was like, that's not the reality I'm seeing here. The reality I'm seeing is the picture before, lean-to shacks and people dying from cholera and not having clean water. That's the reality. And so when I was thinking about the sermon, I was thinking about Galatians, where can we go to kind of get what God's reality is? Where can we go to see the hope that these missionaries had? And so we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount tonight, and in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Now, we're not going to go through the whole thing. We'll go on, and we can take weeks to go through it. We're going to focus on one specific part. But the sermon was given not long after Jesus gave started his ministry. And it's basically his proclamation of the good life, of the kingdom life, the life that we are called to live, the life that is going to be. And so the first part of this Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes. And we've heard this countless times, Dave. And so sometimes I think we tend to skim over it and take it for face value, but I think there's something more that's happening there. So yeah, let's read. If you have your Bibles, it's also going to be on the screen. It's Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we read this, we take it for face value, it seems at the beginning that Jesus is calling us to be meek. Blessed are the meek. He's calling us to be poor in spirit, as if these are instructions on how to live our life. And I was just thinking, yes, Lord, let me mourn. I want to mourn, so hallelujah. But that's kind of how we read it sometimes. It becomes like something like a badge of merit. Yes, I'm meek. Not that being meek is a bad thing, or that I'm poor in spirit, but it's not really a desirable feeling for all of us. And so I think there's something else going on here that's lost in translation. So we're going to take a look at the context in which Jesus is teaching. And he begins his ministry in the previous chapter. He's like preaching and healing the sick. Large crowds are beginning to follow him. And so let's read Matthew 4:23-25. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. Now we become, to the beginning of chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, we're going to come out to the end of each of them. Late theologian Dallas Willard says that Jesus in this sermon is using a type of show and tell teaching here to illustrate the life of the kingdom he's talking about. When he's describing the poor in spirit, the persecuted, the peacemakers, he's not talking about suggestions about how to act. He's describing those around him in the crowd. And so he's looking at all these people that have never experienced anything like Jesus at all in their lives. They've never been called to follow a rabbi. They've lived very hard. Maybe they're refugees. Maybe they are poor in spirit. Maybe they are the persecuted. Maybe they're a leper. They've never been touched physically by another person because they have to go live in a self-clean place. These are people that are seeking love, seeking healing, seeking acceptance. And Jesus comes in speaking to them. He's eating with them, touching them, healing them. So what Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes then is that these are the very people being blessed by his presence. He's inviting them in to be a part of this. So to help us understand this a little more, I'm going to take two of these Beatitudes and break it down so we can get an idea of what Jesus is talking about. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we've all been hungry. We've all been thirsty. We kind of understand that. I know when I'm training for a race, which I am now, I get really hungry. And Crystal will tell you that I get hungry all the time anyway. But I could go eat at the home place and stuff my face, and then an hour later, I'm like, peanut butter sandwich. I just am hungry all the time. And, we've all experienced that. Sometimes we get a little cranky, right, when we get hungry. But there's just that, that innate desire within us to put food in our bodies to sustain our being. And so Jesus is saying that this is happening spiritually, too. God has built into us a desire to see righteousness, his righteousness move in the world. There's a morality that he has built into us and he made us. We get upset when people don't have it. We get upset when we see people killed for their beliefs. We get upset when we see how children will go hungry through the night. We get upset when we see people not living in the potential God has made for them. So we begin to have a desire, a hunger, a thirst for things to be made right in this world. And it's anticipation of what's to come. Start thinking about dinner and you're like, yes, I'm ready for that hunger right now. But we get to have this pang of deep thirst for the type of righteousness only God can bring. The types of things that we see in the news just kind of make us angry. Just go, well, that's not right, it's wrong. And, a lot of times we don't see that. We don't see that happen. We don't see the righteousness take place. But Jesus is saying that now, in his kingdom, these are invitations. That we will be fulfilled, our hunger will be satiated by the righteousness that he is bringing on this earth. Let's look at that another one. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The poor in spirit, these are the folks that are marginalized. These are the folks that are looked down upon. No one asks them what they think. They're not going to get asked to lead a Bible study. Maybe they don't think much about religion at all. They don't know anything. They don't have much clout around people. And you've felt like this before. Maybe you're feeling like this right now. Dallas Willard says, those poor in spirit are called blessed by Jesus not because they are in a meritorious condition, but because precisely in the midst of their ever so deplorable condition, the rule of heaven has moved redemptively on them and through them by the grace of Christ. What he's saying there is that, what he's saying there is that Jesus has come in, the King of Kings, the Teacher of Teachers, the Lord of Lords. And he's saying, I love you. Come in and follow me. And that, you know, if you're somebody who's not had that acceptance before from a loved one, maybe, you know, maybe your parent life at home wasn't that great. Maybe you've never had anybody say, hey, I'm proud of you. And maybe no one's ever asked you your opinion on something. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to fulfill that. I'm going to bless you. You are going to be blessed by me. I'm going to ask you to be a part of this huge thing that I'm doing. So when Jesus began his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, repent and believe for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Matthew 4, 17. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about reality. The reality that I was seeing in Haiti was that there are these people living in a slum with the ironic name of Jubilee, and they had nothing going for them. And what the missionaries saw was that here's a place where God's kingdom can move and be built up. The reality of the kingdom of heaven is the here and now of God's presence, his presence among us, available to us through the power of a reigning Christ amidst our faith community. This is true reality. This is the ideal of the kingdom life. What Jesus is saying is that the poor, the marginalized, the downtrodden, the people that are overlooked, these are the folks who will receive the blessings of his kingdom. He is flipping all of reality on its head. Usually it's the kings. It's the folks in power that get to make and decide who gets blessings or who is successful. And Jesus is saying, nope, completely different, because I'm in charge of it. So I think there's a different way that we can look at the Beatitudes, a different way that we can read it. And so I think N.T. Wright, scholar N.T. Wright, has a great translation that can work here. So let's pop this up there. Wonderful news for the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Wonderful news for mourners. You are going to be comforted. Wonderful news for the meek. You're going to inherit the earth. Wonderful news for people who hunger and thirst for God's justice. You're going to be satisfied. Wonderful news for the merciful. You'll receive mercy yourselves. Wonderful news for the pure in heart. You will see God. Wonderful news for the peacemakers. You will be called God's children. Wonderful news for people who are persecuted because of God's way. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Wonderful news when people slander you and persecute you and say all kinds of wicked things about you, falsely because of me. Celebrate and rejoice. There is a great reward for you in heaven. That's how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that's one key thing that we need to remember, is that the gospel of Jesus is good news. It is good news to people who are hunger and thirsting for something to be done in their lives. It's good news for people who have never been accepted anywhere. It's good news for people who are constantly mourning at the state of the world, or in death, that they're living in. And when we understand that we are a part of this larger narrative that goes back to the beginning of time, it is easier to participate in it. And so, I'm going to share a few stories about these types of kingdom encounters that we can see throughout our world. For that, I'm going to... Now, some of you may know that we have a sister church in Kyiv, Ukraine, called Almov. And every so often, every year or so, we were able to take a mission trip over there in the summer and work with them. And they do work with orphanages outside the city of Kyiv. And one particular orphanage that we go to in Warsaw, it's a little village, and the orphanage has about a few hundred kids. And most of these kids, from ages like 1 to 7, are special needs, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, hypothyroidism, any number of conditions you can think of. A lot of these kids have been marginalized and beaten. They've just been dropped off and abandoned. And the nurses that work at this orphanage barely can handle taking care of the kids. It might be 40 to 50 kids per one nurse. And so these kids are not getting, you know, the love and attention that they need, that they deserve in life. And so what our friends and brothers and sisters at Almov have decided is that, well, that's not right. We need to do something about this. And so they've started by doing simple things. They're going out and they take trips and they play with the kids that we work with. They They built playgrounds for them to play on. They are renovating the buildings. The buildings there were built in the 1900s, and they haven't been updated since. And so they'll just replace the windows, so it'll be warmer in the winter, and winter in Ukraine is cold. They will renovate the bathroom, or they'll just build new bathrooms, because it's usually like one bathroom for every 100 people, just to take a bath or use the restroom. The kids there get like one diaper a day, and so the folks at the church will raise money through people in the States and in Ukraine, and they'll, you know, bring diapers to this orphanage. We'll talk to the nurses. We'll give English classes to the nurses. We'll talk to them about how to take care of the special needs kids, because there's no programs for that in Ukraine. And the pastors will go to these conventions about how to take care of special needs kids so they can become a part of these kids' lives. And it's just so amazing to see, even if you're there for a week or 2 weeks, just the impact that this can have on these kids' lives. No one has ever told them that, hey, I love you. No one has ever stopped and played with them individually and cared for them. You know, this is what these beatitudes, these blessings are all about. This is just what that family and the kingdom of God in Ukraine is doing by blessing these people who are marginalized, who are poor in spirit, who are downtrodden. At the beginning of the semester, and I urge you, if you do it again, go on the trip. It's pretty phenomenal. At the beginning of the semester, our leadership community heard from a missionary from Rocky Mount, Virginia, named Walter Hughes. And he works with communities in Ghana and South Sudan to bring them clean water and also plant churches. And he was talking about just how the simple effect of helping these communities create wells and take control of something as simple as clean water can really lead to transformation in their lives along with the gospel. And that was eradicated sicknesses from certain areas like getting worm disease in Ghana. That's what happens when you have a full beard, man. I don't know. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Battery, beard. Walter was talking about how when he goes into these communities and the people that he works with begin to take ownership of the clean water, the health of their kids, great things start to happen. The village is there, they start to grow. People start to become happier. Their kids are healthier. Their livestock is fatter. It's these ideas that, you know, their government is not going to come in and give them clean water. They are being overlooked in these little villages that sometimes you can't get to without a 5-hour truck ride or a plane or a helicopter. And so Walter was just saying that the transformation in their lives is incredible evidence. You know, and that is another example of what this kingdom that Jesus is referring to, his kingdom, can do in people's lives. Okay, well, what does that look like here in Blackford? I thought I'd share a little bit about my story. And some of you guys have heard this before, but when I came to LCF many years ago, I was entering a cycle of depression and loneliness and sadness. And this was a rough time. The only thing that kind of kept me going was my community at LCF, my friends. They just kept coming after me. To give you an idea of my mindset, let's say I played guitar in church and someone gave me a compliment, or I said something in Bible study and someone gave me a compliment, I would just assume that this person was lying to me. Because why would anybody say anything good about me? I'm not good at all. That was my mindset at the time, so it was a pretty rough place. You pretty much say I was poor in spirit at the time. I just felt dejected about life. Let's give you an example of how LCF kind of came around me. There's a story of one of my friends, like 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I was in bed, and he called. He's like, hey, we're going to go hang out, do some stuff, you're going to hang out. I was like, no, I got work to do. I'll catch you later. Hung up. Stayed in bed, and I had no plans to get out for the rest of the day. I wasn't going to do any work, and I wasn't going to get out of bed. Well, then a few minutes later, my phone rings again, and it was my friend. And I peeked out of the window in his car, it was in the parking lot of my apartment. Okay, awesome. Ignore them. I don't have to deal with anybody today. I still want to talk to anybody. I just want to sit here and be miserable. And then I hear steps running up. Someone's sprinting up the steps in my apartment. And he comes into my apartment because we have a locked door. And he starts banging on my bedroom door and falling open the door. And, you know, I don't know if he knew exactly what I was going through. But just that pursuit of, like, I'm not going to give up on you today. It just reminded me, it just mirrored God's pursuit for me. And it was incidents like that, you know, why I'm still here today. And why I'm on staff, because I know there's people out there like that who just need to be relentlessly pursued, and who are being relentlessly pursued by Christ, and we need to be a part of it. And that's why I firmly believe in the story about the kingdom, because I've seen its effect on my life. So when we begin to see these effects around us, and maybe you encounter that, in your own life. When we understand that we are part of something greater than ourselves, it becomes easier for us to see and want to be a part of, desire to be a part of this kingdom, and want to see this kingdom move. So what are some things we could do to kind of make sure these things are happening in our lives? So give us some steps here. And I forgot what it looks like. Yep. So the first one is look. Look around is for transformation. You guys can write this down. So look for transformation. Are there areas that NLCF is encountering? Are there areas in your life, in your hall, in your class, in your work, people you're connecting with? Are you seeing this transformation happen in your life? Are these blessings that are happening, are mentioned in these verses, taking place around you? Step two is listen. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to those around you who are desiring something. Maybe there's a need around you you haven't noticed yet, but the Spirit can lead you in that direction. You know, be looking for those as places where you can move. Remember what it was like to encounter the kingdom for the first time. Remember your own story when you were adopted into God's family. What was that like? What did that feel like? Is there a time where some sin has some sort of grip on your life? Or even you were in a rough state because of circumstances around you, but there's a moment where you connected with the community of God and you just felt God's blessings and peace kind of shower down around you. Remember that. Live in it. That's the fourth one that I left out here. Live in it. Live, believe, and act as if you are a part of this kingdom. When you remember that you were part of something bigger, instead, it becomes easier for us. And it's easier for us to move in situations where the Spirit is nudging us. A lot of times, what I'll do in certain conversations I'm having is just like, God, you're the king. You're king over this conversation. You're the king over this conversation I'm having with somebody right now. Or you're king over, you know, this random chance encounter that I'm taking in order to meet the need of something that I'll use up. God, you're a king of this. And you're calling into your part of this kingdom, the move is a part of this kingdom. And so the fifth one, the one that's actually up there, is invite. Invite others in to be a part of this. The good news is good news. We need to remember that. This is exciting. This is life transforming. And your lives have been transformed by this. Why would you not want to invite somebody else to be a part of it? And if you're here tonight and you've been, you know, maybe you've been searching for something and you've been asking questions about this whole God thing, this whole Jesus thing, Christianity thing, you're not quite sure what to make of it, I urge you to consider what Jesus is saying in these verses, what he is declaring and proclaiming in these verses. It doesn't matter how religious you are, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter how good you are, follow the rules, who your parents were, what your skin color is, your gender. Jesus' kingdom and the new reality that he's speaking of is available right here and right now to you. It is open. The God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you through Christ, his Son. I just want you guys to consider that tonight. Is that something that you thought about? Do you want to be a part of this? What would it look like if you made that decision to make Jesus your king? Make Jesus king over your life and your spirit tonight? And what would it look like? What would the rest of your life look like as a result of that? So, In closing, I wanted us to have a prayer that we could pray throughout the week. I thought it'd be a good idea, you know, maybe we're sitting at our desk at work. Maybe we're studying in our apartment. Maybe we're getting grabbing coffee and bolos. Working out at the gym. Or going to dinner with friends. And so I just thought it'd be great to have this prayer that could just kind of rotate in our minds as we are doing these things, kind of remind us of those. So, you guys would you guys pray this with me together out loud right now? Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us and are doing for us. Let us see the world around us with your eyes. Help us see where your kingdom needs to move and give us the courage to live in this kingdom reality in order to meet the needs of those around us. Please transform the lives of our communities so we can see you transform lives around us. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are transforming the world. And as Steve talked about a couple weeks ago, there's a new creation that's happening in church. And that is what this kingdom is about. God, let us see it. Let us move in it. Let us remember what it was like to encounter that. Lord, let us see that. If we've never experienced that before, have us pray that we do. I just pray that we can see something that we've never even thought about happen, Lord. Maybe it's a life transformed. Someone we just kind of wrote off. Father, that you are the king. You are the creator. Help us to see those around us with your eyes, like those glasses we handed out 3 weeks ago, where this is Imago Dei. Remember that people are made in your image. And that we can love them. You can't love them as much as you can, Lord, but gosh, we can sure try. So, Lord, I just pray that you give us courage that we need, Lord, because this is a courageous life. Faith is a courageous thing. To live as a result of this, to take bold steps. Or maybe your judgment is to sign up for a spring break trip. Maybe we can go see how the kingdom is moving in Valley Honduras. Maybe we can go see how the kingdom is moving in Memphis. Maybe in the future, when we go back to Ukraine, maybe we can see in the future the kingdom is moving in Ukraine. Maybe there's another place in our lives, back home, here on campus, that you want to move, Lord. Let us be a part of that. Maybe you want us to go to Ignite, something we've never done before, go to a conference, and just hear your word and be challenged by it. Maybe you want us to go to LT next summer, Lord. It's been 11 weeks just learning what it means to live in the middle of this kingdom, in the middle of this faith community. Father, just guide us, move in our hearts, remind us of your proclamation of the blessings that you bring, that your kingdom brings. May you pray, amen.